Welcome to the Not Old Better Show. I'm your host, Paul Vogelzang. This is the second installment of Backstory, our latest show because family is everything. For the sake of my posterity as well as yours, I've begun a new Not Old Better Show with a focus on genealogy titled Backstory, Family is Everything. Genealogy is the second most popular hobby in the country today with more than 113 million participants and researchers. Most people want to know more about their roots, origins, home life, work life, social status, relationships, migrations, marriages, health, attitudes, customs, folklore, clothing, foods, environment, and the social issues in the news during the time in which their ancestors lived. And that's what we'll talk about. And I think you'll learn a lot. Enjoy the journey together and find something interesting about your own roots. For today's show, we're going to discuss bridging the gap between old and young by keeping family stories alive. With each passing day, the first-person accounts of what lives were like in families before Google and iTunes or even black and white television, they slip away. So I've decided to recruit the next generation to stem the tide of such loss. The result is Backstory, which will collect stories from around the world and compile each digitally for posterity. Already, after just our first installment, I'm so pleased with the result and the fact that there were still stories to collect. I remember thinking, what a shame it is that old-timers like me, my family, my parents, are disappearing. The time to talk to these folks is now, while they're still around, to tell their stories firsthand. The idea, of course, for Backstory came to me, and I thought it would be a perfect fit to go into the field, equipped with the latest audio-visual equipment to catalog the stories and ensure their survival. I really love being able to focus on family heritage, their place in history, and what they want to tell as their story. The technology, of course, is a bit challenging in order to get the audio correct, and I really have decided to collect stories, read some of them myself, but have others read their own, keep it flexible, to nail down the best fit, and I think the end results will be great. Backstory as a project gives me an opportunity to honor my family, in particular my mother today, at least to start out with, and I plan to offer the same options to others in the form of honoring families broadly. The result is digital storytelling that mixes my voice. I'll add some still photographs to the website, including some forgotten letters written to loved ones, some old maps outlining boundaries, and even some family music that creates the mood and, of course, the words and memories straight from the men and women who lived the experience. Basically, it's the high-tech version of an ancient art form. The idea is still to tell a great story, just using all the art forms available. I hope you enjoy today's story by author Vijay Vogelzang in her book, Beautiful Days. Yes, Vijay Vogelzang is my mom. And I thought, again, given my father's passing, I'd start with some of my mom's own writing for purposes of our own first oral family history. Please check it out and enjoy it. Today's story is titled, Should This Judge Be Benched? Hugh Wesley Goodwin, a 50-year-old municipal court judge in Fresno, California, is under investigation for his practice of mixing God and the law. California's Judicial Watchdog Commission indicates that Goodwin's practice of giving some defendants a choice between going to church or going to jail is a violation of the Constitution's clause on the separation of church and state. The commission also says that he allows religious classes to be held in his chambers, a reference to a Thursday noon Bible study session for courthouse employees, and it mentions his open support of a Christian candidate for public office. So far, the commissioners have not invited the judge to meet with them. Despite the probe and all the criticism of him in legal circles and in the press, Goodwin takes pride in the apparent success of his program in dealing with one of society's pressing problems, rehabilitation of lawbreakers. After his appointment as a judge in February 1976, Goodwin began giving persons guilty of minor crimes a choice of doing community service work, paying a fine, going to jail, or attending church services once a week. He specified that one of the services had to feature study of the Bible. Most who have appeared before him, including a number of habitual offenders, have chosen the religious sentence. Of these approximately 200 persons, says the judge, only five have been back in court on subsequent charges. Thus, Goodwin sees himself as only a catalyst in the process of helping people to straighten out their own lives through the discovery of moral guidelines and sources of spiritual power. Offenders are permitted to choose their own church after consultation with friends and relatives, but many ask the judge to pick out one. Goodwin works closely with a number of pastors in town. They are expected to become involved personally in efforts to help the offenders. The judge denies the suggestion that he is proselytizing. He says he would let a Jewish defendant attend a synagogue and a Muslim attend services at a mosque, but so far, there apparently have been no such defendants. Goodwin maintains the non-jail option not only helps the individuals involved, but also results in big savings to taxpayers. Children and other dependents of some offenders are kept off welfare rolls. Penal system expenses are reduced, and people in trouble are provided a place where they can receive free counseling and loving care. And some unemployed troublemakers have gotten jobs thanks to sympathetic church members who contacted prospective employers, he says. The sentence varies according to the offense. One shoplifter was given this choice: a $200 fine, or 10 days in jail, or 80 hours of community work, or 10 Bible study sessions at church. Goodwin believes her case is a crucial one. Her children are aware of her habit of stealing, and if she doesn't change her ways, it is likely that the children will follow her example. With God, at least, there's hope, reasons the judge, himself the father of four. He normally prescribes 6 months to a year at church. Many defendants and their relatives have come back later to thank him, he says. Goodwin doesn't think that what he's doing violates the Constitution, and he says this belief is shared by the ministers he knows, all of whom are church and state separatists. He believes it is wrong to interpret the Constitution to mean that a man can't serve the Lord where he is. He scoffs at the criticism of the lunchtime Bible study sessions, which he organized at the suggestion of his boss when he was in the public defender's office. Girly magazines are fine, but not the Bible, he comments wryly. Goodwin doesn't see anything wrong either in encouraging his ministerial friends to get behind a candidate who believes in God and get him elected to office. Such opportunities are rare, says Goodwin, so he is not too concerned about complaints in this area. The judge's friends insist he is no crackpot or fanatic. He is soft-spoken and unassuming, they say, a man strongly committed to Christian principles. He holds earned degrees from Harvard and Howard universities. His services are in wide demand as a lecturer on the church and community circuits. He is an active member of Second Baptist Church in Fresno, California, and does some teaching at First Baptist Church. As Fresno's first black attorney, he is married to the city's first black public school teacher. Goodwin counseled many poor and disadvantaged people. He organized Fresno area citizens for the Selma to Montgomery Freedom March in Alabama in 1965. There is pressure for Goodwin's resignation or removal from office, but he isn't budging. He predicts his case may end up before the U.S. Supreme Court. Meanwhile, he says, if his opponents try to remove him, he will use the occasion as another opportunity to educate them. By Verna Jean Vogelzang, first published in Christianity Today, November 4th, 1977. I hope you've enjoyed today's show. Our newest backstory, Family is Everything. And my thanks to my mom, VJ Vogelzang, for her willingness to be one of the very first authors to create an oral history that we share on the show. As usual, we'll post links to everything. And also, as usual, my thanks to you, the listeners, for joining me today. Your time is valuable, and I'm grateful you're spending some of it with me today. I'm always interested in feedback, and you can leave that at iTunes, Google Play, or send me an email at info@notoldbetter.com. That's info@notold-better.com. Stay tuned for our next show, another great one, as we talk about better. The Not Old Better Show. Thanks to all, and happy holidays.